All right, we'll continue with Utah coach Kyle Whittingham, and the Utes are on the road at Arizona State on Saturday night. We'll go ahead and take questions for coach.
To ask coach a question, please press star one. And your first question comes from the line of Ralph Russo, the Associated Press.
Hey, coach. Wanted to ask you about the last play you guys ran in the game on Saturday. Short yardage play, running out of the shotgun. A lot of folks, fans and media these days, see that more frequently and are a little perplexed by why you'd run, you know, snap the ball 7 yards back to move the ball a yard forward. What is the sort of reasoning behind shotgun plays in short yard situations?
Well, good question, and nothing other than, you know, what you don't gain in shotgun, obviously, is the ability to sneak the football. There's not much of a difference between giving the ball to the tailback from gun as opposed to under center. And we're one of those spread teams that just does everything out of the shotgun. And there are a lot of those teams out there, as you mentioned, that don't ever get under center. And, you know, it's difficult to go back and forth. It's not as easy as some may think. I mean, you know, you see shotgun teams or spread teams that try to get under center on rare occasion. Oftentimes there's center quarterback exchange issues with that when they're under because they're just not used to doing it. And so we choose to be exclusively out of the shotgun. And like I said, we do give up the ability to QB sneak. That's obviously not something that's going to happen, but we think the benefits outweigh what the benefits would be of getting under center, you know, not having to deal with some of the problems that you deal with there. And so trying to keep it simple, trying to keep it consistent, and that's really the best answer I can give you. And that's not just exclusive to us. You know, there's probably, maybe half the spread teams out there are in that same mindset.
If I could just get one quick follow-up, do you think the quarterback sneak is sort of going away now because of the spread offenses and a lot of teams going out of the shotgun? It does seem to be, less and less prevalent around college football.
I would agree with that 100%. It's, it is being phased out to some extent. And, as an old defensive guy, you know, I like it. I think a QB sneak's tough to stop. Or, you know, when it's fourth and less than a yard, I think, you know, that's really the only time it comes into play. Obviously, I see some teams sneaking with, you know, a yard and a half. And, you know, that's, to me, that's just too much to try to get in that situation. But as an old defensive coordinator, it was, the most difficult thing to stop on fourth and inches or third and inches was just the basic QB sneak. But it's all give and take. You know, you give that up and hopefully to gain something else.
Right, but then you can run your full offense, right? I mean, if you're in your shotgun, you're running your full offense.
Yes,
if you had
yes.
put in a sneak, then that would just be – you'd pretty much have nothing but the sneak, right?
Well, that very limited. You may have a play or two other, and we did that. We've done that in the past here several years ago where we had a very, very small selection of plays to choose from under center, QB sneak one, and maybe a power, just an off-tackle power play and maybe a power pass off of that. But it's very limited and very, scaled down.
Thanks for your time, Coach.
Okay, you got it.
Our next question comes from the line of Steve McGree, the Associated Press.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what was the hardest part of the adjustment or the biggest adjustment for y'all's team in terms of moving from the Mountain West to the Pac-12, the biggest change y'all ended up having to make to kind of adjust to this new league?
The depth and the speed and athleticism of our team. You know, we were not quite equipped when we entered the league from a speed and athletic standpoint on the perimeter. I'm talking about wide receivers and defensive backs predominantly, and then the depth from, your 1 to 85 scholarship count. You know, we were pretty good down to about number 25 or 30, but we weren't good enough beyond that. And, you know, most teams in the Pac-12 are depth, you know, down 50, 60, maybe even 70 players. And so we've been working on that ever since we joined the league. We think we've made a lot of progress. I don't think you're ever going to be where you want to be. And, you know, it's always a work in progress. But those two things, really, just becoming a faster team and a deeper team.
Do you know going in it might take a couple of years to get to where y'all are now, or where you kind of, was that first year kind of an eye-opener for y'all in some respect?
No, nothing surprised us. We, you know, as coaches, you watch film, and you can. It's pretty apparent when you're watching tape, the ability level of the players that you're watching, and so there were no surprises going into this league. We expected it to be a competitive, tough transition, and it proved to be just that. And one thing I can say is, even though we've made a lot of progress in the last 3.5 years since we joined the league, the other teams in the league have gotten better as well. And so it's a matter of trying to get better at a more rapid rate than what everyone else is even better. That's the only way you can close the gap, is to do it that way. Because if you're all getting better at the same rate, then we're not making up any ground.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Your next question comes on the line of Ted Miller, ESPN.com.
Kyle, you've always been pretty honest about sort of your preseason questions, the things that concerned you. How have you answered the questions you had about this team going into the season?
Can you remind me of my questions? Or just talk in general here? Let's make it relative to last year. We thought that the two, after a lot of analysis of last year's season, we felt, you know, just cutting to the chase, and the two most basic issues we were dealing with in order to become a better team, more successful, where we had to create more takeaways on defense, and we had to be better finishers in the close games. Those are the two things that were handicapping us the most, and we think we've done a good job of trying to solve those two things. And we're doing a lot better job taking the football away with our defense, getting our offense set up in better situations, and also winning the close ones. We've had three close ones in a row now that we were able to come out on the right end of, where last year it was just the opposite. Those close games, we seemed to, most more times than not, not be on the winning end of those. And so that's the short version. We had a lot more questions than that coming in, but as far as the things that we needed to change from last year to this year that were glaring, it was those two issues.
And with your quarterback situation, Has Travis reemerged? Is he your guy who just kind of had a blip against UCLA?
Well, he's our guy. I mean, he's the guy that we started and played the entire game last week, and did some very good things. We took a big step forward in our throwing game. Now it's not where it needs to be. It's still off the pace, but we certainly made up a lot of the deficit last week. Kendall Thompson, we still feel really good about, and he's right there waiting in the wings if our offense needs a spark, or if there's a certain situation or scenario that we think he can plug in and help us, then we're going to utilize, you know, his skill set as best we can. But if you're going to say, you know, who's our number one right now and who's number two, it's clearly Travis number one at this point in time, and Kendall number two.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Your next question comes from the line of Steve Mims, the registered guard.
Yeah, Kyle, when you guys came into the conference, one of the benefits of it was seen was recruiting, maybe a bigger pool of recruits. Has that kind of panned out over the last couple of years, too, in terms of seeing more players on the field that maybe you wouldn't have gotten in the old conference? And have you guys been able to upgrade recruiting, and that been kind of led to some gradual improvements through your time in the conference?
Without a doubt, and that's what college football is all about, at least at the Division I level. It's all about recruiting. It's all about players and your ability to get quality players into your program and guys that you can win with. And the recruiting here has really, the bar has been raised in that area, and we're able to get in more doors than we ever have before. And that really happened right when we joined the conference. The name brand, I guess you can say, or the Pac-12 is very well respected, and to be a part of that gave us a instant credibility with recruits, and we've seen a spike, a definite spike in our talent level and the recruits that we've been able to bring in here.
Thank you.
Okay.
Your next question comes from the line of Bud Withers, Seattle's Times.
Kyle, you probably heard that there were inferences that your winning touchdown against USC was a result of an illegal pick play. I just wondered if
what? Who's saying that? I mean, every time you run that particular play, and if you look at the film closely, and maybe I should let you finish your question, but it was run exactly the right way, and no, we didn't pick anybody. We just ran in motion and ran the receiver to the flat. And you see it every week in every just about every week from teams, and particularly down in the red area. And so I got to believe that, you know, as far as how we coach it and how we've had it interpreted by officials, you know, we have officials look at everything we do, then it's perfectly legal.
And what would cross the line there? It always seems to be a play that's a subject, kind of a gray area play.
You're right, and I think it's when the wide receiver that's not being thrown to becomes flagrant and in his intent to disrupt the cover man that's in charge of covering the guy that is running the rub route or whatever you want to call it. And so I think that's really where you start to cross that line. If your receiver that is not involved or not the primary guy is just running his route and the defender, you know, he happens to get in the defender's path because of by virtue of the direction of his route, well, that's just football. But I think if you make an intentional and obvious attempt to find that defender and try to obstruct him, then now you're crossing into that area where it becomes illegal.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, we'll take one more question.
Your next question comes from the line of Tyler Lockman, Fox Sports, Arizona.
Coach, yesterday Todd Graham said he thought Devontae Booker was kind of the biggest difference in your team this year. How much has he changed the dynamic of what your offense is able to do?
Oh, a great deal. He's his emergence in the last three or four games has been huge for our football team, and he's he's been as productive a back as we've had around here for a long time in those games, and it's really added to what we're doing, especially in a stretch where we're struggling a little bit to throw the football. And so Devontae has been a big plus for us. He's emerging as one of the best backs in the conference and really one of the top backs in the country. You know, I think he's in the top 15 as far as yards per game, and that's just with really three or four games of being the lead ball carrier. And so I think hopefully you see him continue to carry a heavy workload for us, the last half of the season.
Thanks, Coach.
Okay.
All right, that'll do it for today, Kyle. Appreciate your time. Good luck on Saturday.
All right, thanks, guys. Take care.
You bet. Bye. See you.